Out.
Beyond the ship. There was nothing else breathing nearby, that's for sure. But I knew the Force could tell me of things beyond my immediate surroundings. Ben had shown me that. When the Death Star destroyed Alderaan, he had felt it, even in hyperspace, when we were still light years away. I wondered if I could sense anything outside hyperspace. I opened myself more. Or perhaps I should say that I lost myself more. Let go of my five senses and focused only on what the Force could show me. Nanthri waited ahead, and around it, some kind of danger? Anger? No, nothing so personal. More like antagonism, aggression. But I couldn't see who was feeling such things, or against whom they were directed. R2's warning bleep was a sharp tug on my hearing that broke my trance. I blinked and saw his words stream in the holofeed. 1 minute to arrival in Nanthri system. Nakari returned and took her seat as I acknowledged R2. I remembered feeling through the Force that she had been happy and humming about something. And now I tried to confirm visually that she was in a good mood. She had pulled her curly hair back into a ponytail, and I admired what that did for her profile. The line of her neck. And... uh-oh. She caught me. When my eyes came back to her face, one eyebrow and a corner of her mouth were quirked up, as if to ask, "What are you looking at?" That sent me into a brief panic. If I admitted I thought she was beautiful, that would be flirting. Badly. But if I said nothing, I'd look slow-witted. I cleared my throat and said, "I wonder if the Jedi had any secret tricks to keep them from feeling awkward." Amused, she asked, "Didn't Ben Kenobi have anything to say on the subject?" "Well, he kept telling me to trust my feelings, and I trust that I feel awkward right now. Sorry about, you know, staring." Nakari snorted. "Relax, Luke. You're not the first man I've caught in the act, and this isn't the first time I've caught you, either. It's just the first time I let you know you're a little obvious." I winced. "Is it possible to be a little obvious?" "No. I was trying to be nice. You were obvious." I was grateful that we dropped into the Nanthri system a moment later, because it drew our attention to something else. An alarm pinged in my brain. Danger. There. And without thinking, I banked the ship tightly to starboard and accelerated, even as a small fleet of ships appeared on our scanners that decidedly weren't Imperial. It wasn't the Alliance either. So why were there more than 20 ships flying below us to port in a loose formation? Most of them were small fighter craft, escorting a large cruiser capable of docking them all. Some of those fighters on the trailing edge of the formation were close enough to engage us if they wanted. And within seconds, they demonstrated that they wanted that very much. The others turned to pursue as well, but they would never have time to get involved unless I flew at them. My quick assessment was that I only had about 5 to worry about. But if I had waited those extra few seconds for them to appear on the screen, and then assessed the information before acting, I would have flown closer and drawn within range of a few additional ships. Throwing up the deflector shields, I accelerated even more to about 3/4 full, and their first shots never landed. But Nakari still saw the bolt zip past the cockpit and realized belatedly that we were under attack. "Whoa, who's firing at us?" "Most likely pirates," I said. "Right now they probably just think our ship is slick and carrying something valuable. When they find out we're traveling without any goods, though..."
"They'll take the ship and sell us into slavery. Or ransom us to my father."
"Or give us to the Empire if they find out about the bounty on our heads."
"I liked that thing you did a few seconds ago where you made the ship go faster," Nakari said. "I think you should do it again."
"I'll consider it, but I think we're okay for a little while." Their cannon fire was coming faster and starting to concentrate, but still hadn't hit us.
The Desert Jewel was a slim target, and I had run evasive patterns before. We did have room to push the engines, but I didn't want to pull away too quickly, because the pirates might decide to use missiles if they saw us widening the gap. Our deflector shield should be able to withstand some blaster fire, but might be overtaxed by missiles.
R2, how long until you can take us to hyperspace?
45 seconds. Mark.
Okay, take us as soon as you can. Don't wait for my order.
45 seconds is a long time when people are shooting at you,
Nakari pointed out, tension clear in her voice. I stole a quick glance at her and realized that she hadn't been in many firefights like this. Her comfort zone was an atmosphere, with a slug thrower cradled against her shoulder and a backup blaster. Piloting was something she did to get to the next planet, and her evident worry told me she'd flown in few, if any, combat situations. Her experience working for her father had taught her the shooting usually didn't start until she landed. Not that I wasn't a little concerned myself. 5 against 1 is a poor scenario, especially when the 5 have 15 more behind them. But the fact was, we had a better ship, and the enemy didn't know it yet. I was willing to bet these sublight engines could match the speed of a TIE interceptor. The Jewel's sensors told me that the pirates firing on us flew cloak-shaped fighter